Last month, the Oakland City Council voted to pay $40,000 in punitive damages for an officer who illegally strip-searched two suspects in public.
Judge Henderson referred to this incident as an example of how stuck OPD is in their dysfunctional behavior. And you are going to pay on this officer's behalf punitive damages, which he was assigned because he lied in court. And you wonder why OPD doesn't change, doesn't reform. You guys are the enablers of this dysfunctional behavior when you do these things.
That's Rashida Grenage of Pueblo, People United for a Better Life in Oakland. And that's the latest in a string of incidents that are moving the department ever closer to a federal takeover. That move started back in 2003 when four Oakland police officers were charged with beating, robbing, and framing hundreds of people for crimes they didn't commit. The rogue officers were known as the Riders, and the lawsuit against them led to a legal agreement meant to change the heart of the department. 9 years later, though, the department still hasn't completed the court-ordered reforms, and it still fields a record number of complaints. If it doesn't shape up soon, it could become the first American police department taken over by the federal government. In this first of a two-part series, KALW's Joaquin Palomino looks at the history of the Riders and what their actions mean for the department today.
To understand what's going on with the Oakland Police Department today, you have to go back to the 1990s. At the time, Oakland was one of the most dangerous cities in California. In the second half of the decade, it averaged just under 7,000 violent crimes a year. That was more than any other city its size. Then Mayor Jerry Brown was promising to slash that number by 20%.
I want everyone to know that I'm going to support every lawful action and utilize the criminal justice system to the maximum to rid neighborhoods of crime and criminal elements. Hear this message. Crime and disrespect for the rights of others won't be tolerated. Period. That's all there is to it.
And that's the atmosphere where four Oakland police officers climbed the ranks. They called themselves the Riders.
The main actor was an officer, Francisco Vasquez, and then there was Officer Mabanig, Ciabno, and Horning were also charged.
Jim Channon is a civil rights lawyer who's been watching the Oakland Police Department for 40 years. Throughout the 1990s and into the early 2000s, the Riders patrolled East and West Oakland, where they became notorious for stopping people.
And then, like a magician, a rock of cocaine would appear, and they'd be hauled off to jail. That's what that was the more typical case. And then some of them were beaten at the same time, or some people had their houses broken into as well.
The officers mainly targeted ex-convicts, the idea being,
I know this is a bad person. They're on probation. They're on parole. They've been arrested before. They've been convicted before. So let's dispense with the niceties and just plant the evidence on them and get it over with. We'll have a perfect case. No one will believe them over me.
As the Riders tallied up arrests, they were praised for their work. One of them, Francisco Vasquez, was even named Officer of the Year in 2000.
All they cared about was that he was putting people in jail. Whether they deserved to be in jail, that was something they didn't care about.
All the while, there were warning signs that something wasn't quite right.
So we'll just put his last name in. And there we have 20 complaints. F. Vasquez, police conduct.
Rashida Grenage heads Pueblo, a multi-purpose community group in East Oakland. Her small office houses an invaluable resource, a database of every complaint made against the Oakland Police Department since 1990. Right now, we're looking at the Riders' record prior to 2000.
This is for excessive force for shooting, alleged violation of civil rights, and here you see the Riders together.
We scroll through dozens of complaints and lawsuits. One woman was beaten so badly that her knees and elbows became disjointed. That cost Oakland $3,000. Another case involved a young man drinking a bottle of water in his car. Out of nowhere, his door flung open and he was choked with a police baton. That blunder cost the city $25,000. these incidents were just the tip of the iceberg.
Among the four of them, prior to the Reuters case, they had amassed almost $500,000 in lawsuits against the city of Oakland. They were known to be bad apples.
Yet for years, none of the officers were punished. Until 2000, when rookie officer Keith Batt blew the whistle. Batt had shadowed the riders during his training when he saw them beat and frame numerous people. After 2 weeks on the force, he reported the abuse.
I think a lot of people in the community were relieved in the sense that the whistleblower was a cop. And so it's very rare that we have a situation where the person who's complaining about this behavior is not the victim, but in fact a fellow officer. And that made all the difference.
Batt declined to be interviewed for this story, but attorney Jim Channon says his testimony paved the way for over 100 plaintiffs. They accused the officers of kidnapping, conspiracy, assault with a deadly weapon, and false imprisonment.
And ultimately, we wound up representing 129 people who did a total of 40 years for crimes they didn't do.
In the face of such serious accusations, one of the officers, Francisco Vasquez, fled the country. He's still considered armed and dangerous by the FBI, and there's a $20,000 reward for information leading to his arrest. The other three officers were immediately fired from the force. But after a 3-year legal battle, they were acquitted of criminal charges.
In the end, they were really not sentenced the way any of us would have been sentenced had we engaged in the same behavior. We're talking about assault. We're talking about kidnapping. We're talking about planting evidence. I mean, all of these are felonies.
The plaintiffs did win an $11 million settlement, which came out of Oakland's coffers. And more civil cases emerged, implicating 21 other officers who were accused of similar abuses.
Being here when the Reuters case happened, it's embarrassing for a police officer, and it's a black eye for the department.
That's Deputy Chief Sean Wendt at an OPD meet and greet for the community. He's been with the force for 16 years.
Now, granted, it's a few officers that are involved in something like that, but it reflects upon all of us.
Civil rights lawyer John Burris thought that the problem was department-wide, and the solution had to be equal in scope.
I saw an opportunity, along with Jim Channon, to really take on these issues of a culture within a department, because at the end of the day, it's the culture that perpetuates a certain style of policing. And unless you can attack that culture and hold and change that culture, you ultimately do not change how that department does business.
The two attorneys co-wrote what's known as the Negotiated Settlement Agreement. It was designed as a 5-year, 51-point plan. Once completed, it promised to be a fresh start for the force and the community. But it would prove to be a harder and longer process than anyone had imagined. In Oakland, I'm Joaquin Palomino for Cross Currents.